The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
I invite you all to take a seat, and we're going to hear from the scriptures this morning from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping a watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Earlier this year, one of my sons bought a remote control car as a birthday present for his brother. He'd been so careful, he'd been so thoughtful in choosing the exact one he wanted to give him. He was so excited about seeing the look on his brother's face when his brother would open it. And so when his brother's birthday came, his brother opened it and the look on his face said it all. He was absolutely delighted. He was so excited about it. We quickly got it out of its box. We put batteries in it. We put batteries in the remote control, pushed the buttons, and nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's what they call DOA, dead on arrival. It was a complete dud. And so we had to go back to the shops with it. One of the good things is you can take things back to the shops for a refund. Wouldn't it be good if you could get a refund on time? Like, anyone up for a refund on 2020? When this year started, people were so excited about 2020. They saw the year that lay before them. They saw the start of a new decade. They thought incredible opportunities. And the year started, and it was like someone just took the batteries out. The year just suddenly ground to a stop. Nations went into lockdown. People went into ISO, all because of coronavirus. And in case you didn't know, in one sentence, I just used three words of the year. So, when we think of words of the year, we see that the Collins Dictionary word of the year for this year was lockdown. The Australian National Dictionary Centre had a word of the year. It was ISO. And just about every other major publisher used the word coronavirus, except for the Oxford Dictionary. The Oxford Dictionary couldn't come up with just one word of the year. They had several, saying the decision to have more than one word of the year was
unprecedented.
Just hearing what the words of the year were tell us a whole lot about the year that was, right? You know, this year, we have experienced waves of excitement and disappointment. Hope and disappointment. Hope that restrictions are lifting, that life is going back to normal, and then disappointment when another COVID cluster popped up somewhere. And it's a year of being hopes and dreams, being raised up and crashing down. And even today, there are some of you who are here, some of you who are live streaming, who've changed your Christmas plans multiple times in the last 2 weeks, right? People you'd planned to be with, people you'd planned to see, are suddenly, because states are now not able to travel, we're not able to travel between states, people may be at home for a whole range of different reasons. You know, These waves of hope and disappointment very much reflect the story of the Bible, starting with creation. And we saw that creation started through Jesus Christ. And when the Garden of Eden was created, it was a place of incredible beauty. It was a beauty that reflected the glory of God. And then sin came. And sin came and it destroyed that beauty. It damaged people's lives, just as coronavirus has damaged people's hopes and dreams for this year. But God had a plan. God had a plan for restoration, to restoring things back to the way that things were always intended to be before sin had its impact. And God chose the nation of Israel, and in due course, God came to dwell in the midst of the people. He did this by commanding them to build a tabernacle while they were out in the wilderness, and then when they came into the promised land, they built a more permanent structure, a temple, in their capital city, Jerusalem. And in each time when they were commissioning the temple and the commissioning of the tabernacle, what happened was that the glory of the Lord came down from heaven to earth and it filled the temple. It filled the tabernacle in the most incredible visible splendor of God. His glory came from heaven to earth. In 1 Kings chapter 8, it's described what happened when the temple was commissioned. It says, when the priests withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his temple. In other words, heaven and earth intersected together. The glory of God from heaven came to fill the temple on earth. And God was dwelling in the midst of his people. And it was just beautiful. And yet, there was sin lurking. Sin was still around. It's a little like we've seen in Australia this year. We think, and the media's been speculating, can Australia be free of coronavirus? Can we eliminate it from our shores? And then it escapes quarantine. Suddenly the whole nation gets affected again. We go back into lockdown in different levels. The economy suffers. Relationships are strained. It starts to infect people in the community. It spreads. We go through these waves of hope and crashes of disappointment. Sin is just the same. Because people start living as they did when the temple had been built and when it had been commissioned, and they said then that we will follow God. We will do everything that God calls us to do. We'll live his way. But sin was lurking. And as sin started to take hold and as sin spread across the community, people started to rebel against God. They started doing their own thing. They started following their own ways. They started to worship other gods. And as the nation started to go into turmoil and other nations threatened them and invaded them, they would even go into the temple and they would strip it of its gold. They would take what was sacred and they would sell it or give it away to try and give protection to their people. They stopped trusting God and started following their own ways. And in that time, there were times of hope. There were times of reprieve where the nation would turn back to God and things would go well. But then sin would again overpower that and they would turn away from God and the nation would suffer again. It's a little like these second and third waves of coronavirus, that when you just think that there is hope and freedom, suddenly all the resources are stretched. People's lives are being impacted once again. People suffer. And in the story of the Bible, we see that as these waves happened, they continued until eventually the nation of Israel was invaded and the temple was destroyed in 586 BC. And there were two prophets, Ezekiel and Habakkuk, and in their writings they describe what they saw as the glory of the Lord left the temple. And the glory of God was gone for hundreds of years. And yet, the Jews kept longing for their glory days. They kept believing for the way that things used to be. For the time back when that temple had been commissioned and Israel was a large and prosperous nation, it was a place of influence. And they longed for the glory days and they longed for God's glory to come back into their midst. And so when they came back from exile where they'd been held in captivity and they came back to Jerusalem, they rebuilt the temple because they were hoping that the glory of God would come. And hundreds of years later, when they were invaded once again and the temple was desecrated, they cleansed it. And then when there was a different ruler, they had the opportunity to actually expand the temple and make it more beautiful than before. And they expanded the temple and made it more beautiful because they figured that the glory of God would return to the temple and through the priests. They had their expectations about how they thought God would return. And we are the same today. We hope that if we do enough, that God will show up. We hope that if we do enough, God will come back the way we expect him to. Today's Christmas. Christmas is a reminder that God doesn't always come back the way we expect him to. That God doesn't always do the things that we expect him to. You see, God did not come back in all his glory to the temple in Jerusalem. And he did not come back through the priests. Love God's sense of humour. He chose to use the back paddock. He chose to use a paddock in the countryside of Judea and come not to priests but to shepherds. And in that time, shepherds had a reputation, and it wasn't a particularly good one. They weren't liked. And it wasn't just because they lived outside. It's not just that they didn't get to shower very often. It's not just that they were working with smelly sheep. It wasn't the smelling of the shepherds, it was the telling. Because you see, one of the things they were really good at telling people were lies, mistruths. They were not to be trusted. They were people that weren't popular. People didn't believe shepherds. I'm sure it's like all professions. It was just a few bad eggs damaged the whole lot. And so it probably wasn't all of them, but they were all tarred with the one brush and it stuck. But again, we're a bit like the shepherds. Because you see, back then, people would have thought that the glory of God would not appear to shepherds, because they didn't deserve him. But you know what? We don't deserve God either. God came not because we deserve him, but because he loves us. He loves every single one of you. He knows you and he loves you, not because of what you have done, but because of who he is. He's always loved you. And he makes himself accessible to you. And so it was to the shepherds that he came. It was to the shepherds that the glory of God came from heaven to earth after hundreds of years. And what a glory it was. The story that we read earlier said this: an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Just earlier, I had the opportunity to use three words of the year in one sentence. An angel, in speaking this, chose three words that were trending in that time. Three words that were commonplace in language of that time: Saviour, Messiah, and Lord. The word Saviour was a word that was well known. In the Greek and Roman world, a Saviour was often associated with gods. So the god Zeus was often referred to as a Saviour. Significant political or military figures were sometimes ascribed the term Saviour. Some time ago, in excavations in the city of Ephesus, they found an inscription, a carving, about Julius Caesar, and it said, in referring to him, "the God made manifest and common saviour of human life." Saviour was a word that was well known. Saviour was a word that would describe someone who would bring hope for a new and better way of life. In 2020, if we were to try and think of a word that would describe something that would bring hope for a new and better way of life, for some they would immediately think, well, a new and better way of life free of COVID, our word would be vaccine. They would think of something that would bring things back to the way that it was always intended to be. It's not what the angels meant. When the angels talked about Saviour, they were saying that it was someone who would bring hope for a new and better way of life, free from sin. The next word that the angels used was the word Messiah. Messiah was a Jewish word. It meant anointed one. It refers to someone who was chosen and empowered by God to deliver his people and establish his kingdom. So the Jews had been living for hundreds of years in anticipation of the Messiah coming, believing that when the Messiah came, he would establish his kingdom and he would be the King of Kings. And the third word in that sentence that the angel spoke was the word Lord. The word Lord here was again a Jewish word. It was a very special word that they used for God, Yahweh. It wasn't a word that they just flippantly used. It was a very special word for God in whom they believed. And so when the angel said that this baby was Lord, was God, it was saying that this baby had come as God in human form. And so we see here that the angel is using trendy language, language that was known at that time, to say that this baby that was coming would be the saviour of humanity. That this baby that had been born would bring hope for a new and better way of life. That this baby was the anointed one, the Messiah, and that he was chosen and empowered by God. He would deliver his people and establish God's kingdom, his reign and rule here on earth. That this baby is in fact God. It's a mind-blowing thought. All of this hope and anticipation condensed into one sentence. The glory of God. And then it was confirmed. It was confirmed in the fact that suddenly heaven invaded earth once again. The glory of the Lord was shining through the birth of the baby Jesus. And suddenly there's a choir of angels singing, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. God had returned in all his glory. God's glory in heaven was being revealed here on earth. Not in a temple, not to priests, but in a paddock to shepherds. God was glorified in heaven as his Son came to earth, and peace was being made available to humanity. And it's true for us too, in our personal lives. Because when God is glorified in our life, we can experience his peace in our life. So what does this word peace mean? If we go back to dictionary definitions, many definitions talk about peace as the absence of conflict. People dream of, look forward to world peace. Another definition of peace is a place of tranquility free from disturbance. We'd all like to find that place of peace and quiet. It might be hard to find it today if you're gathering with lots of people, but people look for that place of tranquility. And yet both of those definitions refer to external peace. And many have found out during ISO that we can be free from war, and you can be confined in your own home, free from disturbance, a place that is quiet, and yet there can be a complete absence of inner peace. In fact, the evidence is that during ISO, people felt a greater loss of peace, as shown by the increase in mental health concerns. And so, people are yearning this peace, inner peace. Peace that is evident in our lives, even when there is an absence of peace in our society. So what is this peace that the angel said we could have? This peace that God offers is one that includes inner peace and well-being. It is to know God and live according to his ways. It is to love God and to love your neighbour. And what happens is that when people are living the way that God intended people to live, it starts to release peace. The Jews had a word for this, it was called shalom. It includes people living in healthy relationship with one another. It's people experiencing blessing in every area of their lives. Health, safety, prosperity, well-being, flourishing in personal lives. And when people are flourishing in their personal lives in such a way that it impacts those around about them and they come to know and love God and it starts to change their lives, it results in a flourishing of the whole community. That is shalom. This is a peace that is available through coming to know Jesus as Saviour, Messiah and Lord. And this year people need peace. Because this year people have lived in some cases with an incredible fear of what if I get infected with COVID? What will that mean for me or my family? For some it's life and death. Some have experienced incredible anxiety or disappointment as a result of separation from family and friends as they have been having to live in ISO. Some people are feeling that very much today when they cannot be with family and friends as they had hoped. For others, they have experienced fear due to hardship or uncertainty in their employment throughout this year, or their businesses that have struggled, their workplaces where they have not been able to meet with colleagues because they've been working from home. And we are crying out for peace in our society, and yet there is a peace that is offered to us at Christmas. And yet is not a peace that we can manufacture. Only Jesus, the one as Saviour, Messiah and Lord, can bring peace to the world. That's the peace that these angels are singing about. That's the peace that's available to us. It is the greatest gift of Christmas. And it comes by placing our faith in God. So how do we find it? Well, as we continue through this story in Luke, we see that the shepherds went looking. And so as we read from this passage, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. See, the beauty of this story is that the shepherds didn't just listen to the angels. They just didn't bask back in the glory of God and go, "Oh, how beautiful." They didn't just tune in to the choir of angels that were singing of the glory of God. They saw that, they heard that, they took it on board, and then they did something about it. They went looking. They went looking for Jesus. They went looking for the one who is the glory of God in the form of a human baby. They went looking for the one who could bring them peace. They went and they found the baby Jesus lying in the manger. And it didn't stop there. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Having found the baby, they went and they spread the word concerning what had been told. They spoke the words about this baby, who was the Saviour, who was the Messiah, who was God. They spoke this about the song that they'd heard, the song of the angels. They spoke about the glory of God that they had seen as heaven came to earth. They spoke about the peace that was available here on earth. And I think the lives of the shepherds were changed. Because you see, these shepherds were disregarded. They were rejected. As a profession, people didn't like shepherds. But the shepherds had found Jesus. And it changed their lives. They were so excited. They had seen the glory of God so clearly that when they went and told everyone about it, people listened to them, maybe for the first time. People were excited at what the shepherds were telling them, maybe for the first time. This incredible story of how the shepherds' lives were changed because they'd seen the glory of God and they did something in response. If you are seeking peace, then Jesus is the one who can give it to you. See, it's just as the angels sang, as we glorify God in heaven, we experience God's peace in our lives. And so we're about to go out into what is for many people a very busy day. A day of family, a day of friends. For some, you've got children running around until the batteries die. And so it's hard to take time to stop and reflect. But we're going to do that now. We're going to take a minute just to stop. And we're going to reflect on this need for peace in our lives. Do you have peace? Or when you think about peace, what is it that you yearn for? As I've spoken, what do you think God is saying to you about peace? And we've just heard the shepherds. They heard about Jesus and then they acted on it. They went and found him. What is it that you will do to seek out peace today? God's peace. Will you seek out Jesus on this Christmas day? If that's a conversation you want to have, then come and have a chat with me. I'd love to chat some more about it. But let us pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you that you sent your Son from heaven to earth to live among us. Thank you that Jesus came as our Saviour, the one who would bring hope into the world. That he came and fulfilled all that was expected of the Messiah. That he came and he established God's kingdom here on earth. Thank you that we can declare Jesus as our Lord, the one who we live for, the one who deserves all of our glory, all of our praise. Father, as we go out today, I pray that each one who's gathered here, each one who's streaming with us online, would know the peace that is available through Jesus Christ. That each one would have an awareness of who Jesus is, why he came, and the peace that is available in our lives through him. So come, Holy Spirit, and bless your people this Christmas day and in the days and weeks ahead. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746 361 144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.